Chapter 4. I had many dreams, none remembered except the last, the nightmare. Borgdon was the source of it. His deep, powerful voice was the instrument of his fear. I dreamed he was using it to describe in detail what would happen when the blazer he held to my temple was keyed. His voice rang with implacable superiority and with reasoned understanding of my fear and helplessness. He was almost sorry, he seemed to be implying, that he was going to kill me anyway. It was horrible. Then the pain woke me up, and I found out most of it was true. It was still dark, though without stars. Perhaps 2 hours had passed, no more. I was crumpled, against a rusted sheet metal smokestack at the bottom of an even more rusted, slanted rooftop. Almost everything hurt, but my head was throbbing with a ferocity all its own. I groaned and felt around to my crown for the lump I knew must be there, found it, groaned again. I tried pulling myself to my knees. Borgdon spoke again, from millimeters away. I started, thrusting blindly away from the sound and trying to turn and face it at the same time. I fell again, hard. My chin snapped against the sheet metal with a rumbling thud. I groaned once more, wincing with the pain. I opened my eyes reluctantly, more to stabilize a wave of dizziness than to see. But I saw. Borgdon was there, on the vidcom screen. I blinked, blinked again. It was the smallest I had ever seen him. It didn't help. Another voice emitted from the grill. Staring at Borgdon and still groggy, I paid no attention to what it was saying. Then I recognized the voice as Holly's. I sat up painfully and grabbed the unit, soaking up every word. I didn't understand all the references. Much had apparently occurred in the time I was out, however. That was clear enough. For one thing, Borgdon's force was already on the planet, camped across the river from the dome. For another, they were unopposed. I glanced behind me at the kaleidoscopic jury-rigging of the walls of the maze rising above my perch. There was no sign of movement anywhere along their length. No gunfire sounded. Either they had finally taken my advice and run away, or Borgdon had already gotten them. Borgdon began to speak again. All the reasonableness from the dream was there. His tone was respectful, unhurried, and still implacably superior.
"I won't argue with you, Dr. Ware," he said with a patient and patronizing smile. "You and I both know your defense screens are gone. I suspect you even know how."
"I've a pretty good idea,"
from off-screen, his voice a subtle mixture of bitterness and sorrow. I felt like he had punched me in the stomach. I grabbed up the unit and fiddled with the dials. It was suddenly very important that I see his face.
"Yes," agreed Borgdon with a neutral nod of his huge head. "At any rate, you are helpless, and as far as I can tell, alone."
I gave up the fiddling. Alone? No wonder he sent no image.
"But in a fort,"
Holly was pointing out. Borgdon sighed.
"True, Dr. Ware. Project domes are forts, but without screens, medieval ones. You have no chance."
"We'll see,"
said Holly. Borgdon sighed again. So did I. What the hell was going on? What could Holly be thinking of?